Well, today, I tell you, we're going to look at a story that is very familiar to all of us. You know, I've heard hundreds of messages, I would say maybe even more than hundreds of messages on this same passage. And even I've watched cartoon videos about this. And I'm not sure if I've ever preached a sermon out of this passage before. And I guess I figured everybody was so familiar with it that I didn't need to preach it. But for some reason over the last week or two, I just think of this passage all the time. I think about this story, and it's just really been on my mind lately. And when that happens, I believe that God has something for us to hear. And so I hope we see something out of this. All the stuff going on in this world today, the hate and the division and the lack of morality and the lack of caring and the cruelty. You know, really, I see all these things in the world today. And it makes me think about the call on the church to bring the message of Christ and His love and His mercy and His grace. And are we running from that call, or are we listening, and are we listening to God, and are we going into all the world? Are we going to the highways and byways? Are we compelling people to come into the church? No matter how mean and how cruel and how unloving this world is, God has called us to bring the message of salvation to everyone. Amen? Sometimes we think, well, I'm not going there. Them guys are mean. I'm not going here. They don't like me, and I don't like them. I'm not going to go to that neighbor. I'll go to this neighbor because I like them. But I'm not going to talk to them, that neighbor down there, because I don't like him much, and I really don't want him in my church. I'll be honest with you, we've all had those feelings at times. But God has called us to bring the salvation message to everyone, whether we like them or not. This journey this morning is with Jonah. And I want to clarify one point, though, before I start this, is Jonah is not the hero of this story. God is. At the beginning, Jonah is running from God, and at the end of the story, Jonah is arguing with God, and in between, Jonah is praying to God, and Jonah is preaching to God, or preaching for God. But through it all, keep in mind that Jonah is not really the big hero of the story. God is, and many of us are just like Jonah. God has called us to do something, and it seems like we want to run the other direction. This book is about God and how great His heart is towards people. And God is concerned about the people in the city of Nineveh, just like He is for the people here in this community. And I say this town, but it's our whole community. God is concerned about people here. He's concerned about you and I as well. This book is about God and how great His heart is towards those people. God always wants to save people. He is in the saving business, and that is why God sends Jonah to Nineveh. And that's why He sends us into the world today. He wants to see them saved. He wants to see people get their lives transformed. And He does that transformation, not us. The story also tells us that God shows compassion for the prodigal sons and daughters who run away from Him. God never gives up on Jonah, just like He never gives up on you or I. Not even when Jonah runs away from God, and not even when Jonah sits under a vine and pouts and whines because he's mad at God, because he doesn't go ahead and destroy the people of Nineveh. So as we begin this morning, I want to point out three facts right off the bat. Is the book of Jonah is a very short book. It's a short story. There's only four chapters in the book. It only contains 48 verses and 1,300 words. You can read it in about 15 minutes. But within that 15 minutes, there's a really, really powerful story there. The book of Jonah is a true story. It's a true story. Contrary to the critics and skeptics, I believe this story is recorded as historical truth, and that is, there really was a man named Jonah. I believe that. Who spoke with God and ran from God. Jonah really did flee, really was swallowed by a big sea creature or a big fish. Jonah really did survive. He really was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. And I believe it's all true. And I believe that he went to Nineveh and preached the gospel, and I believe they were saved because of his faithfulness. It's all true. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It's not a fable or a parable. Jonah is a true historical story. I know some may say that, how can you believe that? That somebody was swallowed by a big fish and lived for 3 days and then was vomited up on the beach and then went on his way, like, you know. Well, we find this story. Jesus answers and said this to them as he was speaking one time. He said, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge monster fish," I'll say that, I like that, "so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." That's in Matthew 12:39. Jesus says it's a true story, and I believe it's a true story as well. From what I read, Jesus considered the story of Jonah to be a historical fact. And I, this morning, approach this story as a historical fact. Another aspect, point that I want to make this morning is the book of Jonah is a revealing story. I'm sure that most of us have taken a ship to Tarshish at one time or another, and we've all run away from God at one point in our life, I'll put it that way. We all know what it means to run away from God, and we know how creative the Lord can be when He wants to bring us back to where we ought to be. God does some crazy things sometimes to get our attention. In chapter 1, Jonah's running from God. In chapter 2, he's praying to God. In chapter 3, he's speaking for God. And in chapter 4, he's learning about God. Here's a simple outline, I think, to understand it. Is chapter 1, Jonah flees. Chapter 2, Jonah prays. Chapter 3, Jonah preaches. Chapter 4, Jonah pouts. That's easy to understand and remember, right? Truly, very revealing story, the story of Jonah. And it begins this way. In chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of the saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship where he was going to Tarshish, and paid the fare, and went down into to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that Your Word be revealing to us this morning. Lord, let us leave here with more understanding than we came this morning about who You are, how much You love us, and how You so much desire for us to hear Your call and obey Your call. Lord, I praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you look at the words there in that scripture, if you look at the word "arise and go to Nineveh," that meaning of this phrase is Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh now. He wanted him to go right now, right here, right now. He didn't want him to wait. He didn't want him to go somewhere else. He didn't want him to take a detour. He wanted him to go right now. He didn't want him to wait around. He's not to second guess God's command. He is to get on the road right now. And I believe sometimes we want to second guess God. He wants us to do things for him, and we want to second guess that. So number one, God's call is unpredictable. Amen? I know it was for me. I mean, God has called me to be a pastor, and I said that was a very unpredictable thing. Because nowhere in my life, nowhere in my plans in my life was I ever in my mind to be a pastor. It just wasn't something I thought I would ever be or ever do. You know, I love the church. I've been a part of the church for many years. I did a lot of different ministries within the church. But to be a pastor was something very unpredictable and very out of character for me. But yet God said, I want you to do this. I believe that. I believe God put me where I'm at today. How long I'll be here, I don't know. That's up to God. But I know and believe without a shadow of a doubt, or I wouldn't be standing here today, that God wants me to be here. Amen? All right? So, I don't think that Jonah woke up that morning expecting to hear God's voice telling him to head to Nineveh. I mean, Nineveh was a messed up place. In all likelihood, it probably started out as just any ordinary day. But he got up, he got dressed, he got a cup of coffee, he checked his Facebook page, he read the paper, got ready to head to work, or whatever they did back then. But for Jonah, it was an ordinary day, and then it happened. He hears God calling him on this ordinary day to cry out against, arise and go to Nineveh, to that great city, for their wickedness has come up before me. I think about the church and our responsibility today. Are we not to be that voice as Jonah was to be that voice for God? Are we not to be that in this wicked world today that we live in? Well, you guys are quiet this morning. It's amazing, isn't it, how just one sentence can change your life. God said, go, arise. Get up, arise, go. One sentence. How it can change everything. Change your life forever. It can. If it's good news, it changes your life. If it's bad news, it can change it in another way, but it changes your life. Either way, your life can be turned upside down with just one phone call. But here's the fact. Life can change in a moment, and that's what happened to Jonah when God spoke for these four little words, arise, go to Nineveh. Whatever Jonah's plans had been up to that point, they were now changed. Many of us have our lives changed, and it's different after that. God's call can come at any time, and it's unpredictable. My second point this morning is God's call is uncomfortable. It really is. As I testify about my call into the ministry, it's a very uncomfortable thing to stand up here and talk to you guys when you're looking back at me. It really is. I take in all the emotions. I take in all the expressions. I don't know whether you're asleep or awake sometimes. But see, I take all of that and I got to just look beyond that and I got to just do what God has called me to do, no matter how uncomfortable it makes me. This year, I have to give a report in front of the district at conference this year. I have to do the SDMI or the NDI now section of those 2 hours and 15 minutes. Plus, I have to give a oral pastor's report now. As I was drafted last night to speak on Saturday at district convention. Those things are uncomfortable. But I have to tell about how good you guys are. I really do. So you better be good from now to then. So I'll have good things to say, right? Amen. Oh, you guys are great. I have nothing other than great things to say about my church. I tell every week, I give a report every week about how great my church is and how much I love you guys. You know, Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and that's pretty obvious in this story, but there in verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa and found a ship which was going to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why did the world's worst missionary, I mean, that's the way I look at it, the world's worst missionary run from God? I mean, he's a prophet. I mean, he's heard from God. And here he runs from God the first time he asked him to do something hard, something uncomfortable, something out of character that would change his life. He was probably comfortable doing his routine that he did every day. We get that way, right? We got a routine that we fall into and we do those things. Some people, I mean, it's time. I get up almost every morning at 6 o'clock. I mean, I don't even set an alarm. It's just I get up. You know, my eyes open up, I get up. I have a routine that I do every morning. And then when that routine gets disrupted and changed, I'm all out of sorts. If I don't get my 3 cups of coffee before I get out the door, I'm messed up for the rest of the day. Amen? It's just, we're used to that. And so he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't care about Nineveh. He didn't think God should care about Nineveh. He didn't want Nineveh to repent. And he didn't want God to forgive Nineveh. Now sometimes, like I said before, we look at the community in that same way. We look at our neighbors in that same way because we don't much care for that guy or we don't much care for that person. And we look at our communities the same way. We don't want to go. We really don't even care at times. And Lord forbid we feel that way. Amen? Jesus tells us to love our neighbor, pray for them, love our neighbor as ourselves. But did you see there in verse 1 what the message was that God wanted Jonah to preach? Was it a message like, listen, Nineveh, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for you? He didn't say that, did he? Arise, he said, go tell Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah 1, 2. Jonah knew that the reputation in Nineveh, it was the capital of Assyria, and he knew what the people were like because the Assyrians had a reputation for cruelty. That is, it's hard for us to fathom, but their specialty was brutal and of a disgusting kind, really. You know, when I was reading about this, they would capture a city or a country, and they would tie people up and hang them and skin them. Now, I mean, they would cut them into pieces and do all kinds of just horrible, horrible things. And I was like, man. But they were known for that. The Assyrians didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Assyrians for good reason. Now, if God called you to go to a place like that, what would you think? You know, I've said it before, it'd be like going to Lake Drive in Chicago at 2 o'clock in the morning and walk down the street preaching the gospel. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? We would all think about that. Or East St. Louis at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. We would all have doubts that that's really what God wanted us to do, wouldn't we? The Assyrians had no use for the Jews, and the Jews had no use for the Assyrians, and yet God asked Jonah to go to the capital city. Jonah hated them for their bloodthirsty cruelty. He knew what they would do. Jonah hated them for their idolatry, and Jonah hated them for their arrogance. Jonah had no desire to go, and for good reason, as for Jonah was concerned about his own life. Nineveh should go. In his way, he thought that Nineveh should just go straight to hell. He didn't want anything to do with them. He wanted them to be punished by God. He didn't feel like that God should save them in any way. But remember what God called Jonah to do. Go to Nineveh and preach against it. Go to Nineveh and tell them of their evil. Go to Nineveh and tell them how they are displeasing to me. Go to Nineveh and tell them their sin. Go to Nineveh and tell them how dirty and filthy they have been. And go to Nineveh and tell them, I have everything, I know everything, and I've seen everything that they've ever done. Go to Nineveh and give them a message. You know, God has placed us here in this community to give this community a message. A message about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And He's asking us to go. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. It's unpredictable. But He's still asking us to go. God's grace is incomprehensible. Why in the world would God want to send a message to Nineveh? Why would God even want to talk to them? Why would He want to do that? He could see everything. He knew what they were doing. Why didn't He just wipe them out like He did Sodom and Gomorrah? Why didn't He just, you know, snap His fingers or do whatever He does and just destroy them? That's what Jonah thought that he would do. But Jonah knew that what could happen, and Jonah knew what could happen. He really did. He knew what that if he brought God's message to Nineveh, and if they repented, God would forgive them, and God would pardon them. God would let them off the hook, and that is not what Jonah wanted. You know, people are saved by the grace of God. Amen. Have I ever told you that before? That people are saved by the grace of God? They're not saved by me. They're saved only by the grace of God. You know, the story about Nineveh here is a story of grace. God's grace upon a people who are wicked, a people who are disobedient, a people who don't deserve salvation, but yet God saved them. You know, many of us, none of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve the grace that God has given us. But thanks to Jesus Christ, thanks to God's saving grace, we can all stand before God one time in our life. Isn't that wonderful to know that you've been forgiven? We deserve punishment, but because of God's grace, we don't have to receive that punishment. Jesus Christ did that for you. They received mercy. They deserved the wrath, but they received the grace of God. And folks, when people sin around us or against us, we want to see God's justice, but when we sin, we hope for God's mercy. Amen. That seems a double standard. We want to see God's justice on everybody else but us. For most of us, God's grace is hard to accept and hard to believe and hard to comprehend. It really is. But grace teaches us that God does, He does care for others, and what we would never do for them, He did. We may extend ourselves to save the not so bad, but we would never save the really bad. But God does. God is more gracious than Jonah ever was, and God is more gracious than I am. I'll tell you that. God saves people that I would never save. I'll tell you, it's easy to get aggravated at somebody who comes and cuts the catalytic converters off the church van. I think thoughts go through my head like, man, if I caught them while they were here doing that. But you know, God loves them too. God wants to see them saved too. Amen. Just like He does you and I. How we respond to God's matters. How do we? I'm thankful that God is forgiving. Amen. I'm thankful. When God said, "Arise, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach against it," we might expect the next verse to read, "And Jonah did." But it doesn't say that. Jonah rose up and he went to Tarshish, and he ran from the presence of the Lord because he knew what conviction was all about. We know what that conviction's about. You ever been convicted by God? You ever feel Him like, I need you to do this, or don't do that? If you know a little bit about Bible geography, you would know that Jonah went east when he should have went west. Or vice versa. Jonah was supposed to go east and he went west instead. And sometimes I think we're like that. God tells us to go one direction and we tend to go the other because we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to be in that position. We flee from the presence of the Lord. You know, it's important to know who he's running from and where he's going. He wanted to get away from God. And one thing I've heard before in the past, and I had to put it in here because I think it's so good, is in that verse where he went down, he used it two times. Jonah went down to Joppa, and then he went down into the ship. And here's the facts. Every step out of the will of God is always a downward step. But anytime you run from God, you'll never go up. You'll always go down. Amen? God's problem, you know, was never ultimately about Nineveh. Jonah's problem was always with God. Have you ever had anyone complain about how much God loves them, or how God is too loving, or how God is too forgiving, or how God is too kind and merciful? You'll never hear anybody complain about that. I've never heard. He wanted Nineveh punished, but God wasn't going to do it. God was going to forgive them, and so Jonah turned his back on God. But the great truth in this story is this: even though Jonah seems to give up on God, God never gave up on Jonah. Amen? As I stand here this morning, the questions in my mind are, how far will God allow Jonah to go in his rebellion? How far will God allow Jonah to go in his sin? And how far will God allow us to go away from Him? You see, God doesn't always stop us quickly. He'll let us go. He'll let you go and do. And that's what free will is all about. He'll let you go and do what you want to do. But let me tell you, He's still concerned about you. He's still watching after you. He's still there. He's a very patient God. He's a loving God. And it's called grace. It's called mercy. And it's called the love of God that we sing about so much. The love of God. How rich and pure. Amen. That's the God that we serve. It's not a God that wants to punish us. It's a God that wants to love us. He wants to bring mercy. And He's very gracious. And He's very patient. And let us always remember that God will let you run, but you can never outrun God, let me tell you. God was with Jonah every step he took. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I hope we can learn something from this, Lord, that we can leave here with more knowledge of You in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we know that how merciful You are and how graceful You are, Lord, and we just pray that we can be the same. Lord, let us be graceful for people in our community. Let us be kind and compassionate, Lord, but let us also be faithful to hear Your call when You say, "Go into all the world." baptizing, preaching in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey my commands. That's your call to each and every one of us here as believers today. Lord, let us be diligent. Let us not be lazy. Let us not run from that call. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.